This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Pull up a stool and join us, 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326, the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Always enjoy our conversations with Bruce Nolan, host of the Bruce Exclusive. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. Bruce, I want to say, one of the last times we had you on with us, we talked about the news cycle in the NFL, how fast it actually moves and how it's hard for us to retain any information. So from this offseason with the Buffalo Bills, is there a bit of news that you've just all of a sudden forgot about that's actually very significant to what this team could be in 2025?
I frequently forget that Joey Bosa is a Buffalo Bill. Frequently forget. It's just something that we know when it happened that we all said the same thing. It's a high ceiling move, right? The payoff could be big. But then all of a sudden the Buffalo Bills invest significantly in the remainder of free agency when it comes to the defensive line. They double, triple down in the draft and add even more defensive linemen. And then Joey Bosa, oh, well, you know, he's got a little bit of a soft tissue. Maybe it might be a little bit. And all of a sudden we forget he exists. I will openly admit that the same level of ceiling that existed for Joey Bosa 3 months ago hasn't changed, but our perception of it because of the other noise, I think, has changed.
Hey, let's stick there because I think a lot of us identify the line as, all right, this needs to improve if the Bills want to get to where they're going. Can they do it if a bunch of like B plus performances, or do they need an Ed Oliver to finally step up, or a Greg Rousseau? How do these pieces kind of fit together here, Bruce, on the defensive line?
I am of the opinion that you can moneyball a defensive line. Like, you can replace people in the aggregate. I think we've seen successful defensive lines that were without a massive superstar have success in the NFL because of good coordination and consistent positive reps. And so I don't think that it's a weak link system. I just think that you necessarily need to have a certain standard on the defensive line that you have to hit consistently, and you need to keep people fresh, and you have to have good coordination. I think that one of the things we're going to be looking at for the Buffalo Bills defensive line in 2025 is, do you see more games, right? Do you see stunts? Do you see movement? Because I think that the metrics would reflect that they're more effective when they do that than when they aren't. But you have a bunch of new pieces now. Does the defensive staff feel like this is the time where you can run more games? You look at third down, and a significant chunk of the Buffalo Bills defensive additions this offseason, you can make an argument they are tailor-made to combat the Buffalo Bills' biggest weakness on defense last year, which is specifically third and long. If you look at Maxwell Hairston, everybody assumes because he's a really good athlete that, oh, well, you know, he's a pure man guy. And that I would make an argument that off coverage and breaking on the ball is probably one of the best things that Maxwell Hairston does. When can you run off coverage and have your guys break on the ball? It's third down. So I think that you think about that and the defensive line and the moves that they've made, and you think to yourself, okay, they clearly identified not just, oh, defense is the issue, but a specific part of defense, and they went after it, and we'll see if it works.
So, Bruce, we talked about the defensive line. We talked about secondary. I'm curious, and this is something that we've been talking about throughout the course of the offseason. I'm curious to get people's opinion on whether or not they believe that right now Dorian Williams is a better football player than Matt Milano.
I am one of those people that I don't project things like optimistically. I don't say, well, you know, look, if you extrapolate these three games over the course of 17, because that's just not the way NFL works. And in the same way, I'll believe that Dorian Williams is better than Matt Milano when I see that he's better than Matt Milano. I don't believe that right now. I think that you saw Matt Milano start to round a little bit more into form as the end of last season came upon us. And yeah, I mean, it would be ideal if he was, but I don't want to hope cast that. So for me, it's not I don't think there's a training camp battle there. I don't think Matt Milano is in imminent danger of losing his spot. I would have to see that occur before I believed it, and right now I haven't seen that.
Yeah, let's go over to the other side as we're talking with Bruce Nolan, the Bruce exclusive, joining us here in the Sports Bar. And we're not expecting anything different at the running back position, correct? Like, I thought maybe we would have a storyline, but I'm going to credit James Cook because he certainly could have made a lot of noise here entering training camp. But, you know, Bruce, your thoughts on what I think is the best triumvirate at running back here in the NFL?
Yeah, it really is a good group of three, and I think the offensive line really contributes significantly to that. The idea that you can plug in a lot of different styles of runners and still have success. I think this is really an Aaron Cromer stat when you think about the Buffalo Bills rushing attack and how effective it's been. Funny story, James Cook allegedly had a breakout year. He actually had fewer touches per game in 2024 than he did in 2023. But he scored so many more touchdowns that our perception of his effectiveness and our perception of his volume is a lot more than it actually is. So I don't think that you need to say, oh, well, you know, Ray Davis will take a bigger step. You know, oh, you know, Ty Johnson. I mean, the split that you've seen is kind of a split I think you're going to get. And could you see Ray Davis get a few more of those touches as he matures in the role and isn't a rookie and you can trust him in pass protection more? Sure, yeah. But ultimately, the idea that you're going to have this massive swing in James Cook usage and he's going to go from high 40s in snap count to, you know, high 30s down, or he's going to go to high 60s up. Like, I think that the Buffalo Bills are going to look at that situation and go, it wasn't broke. Why fix it? And Josh Allen's gone on record as saying Ty Johnson is the best third down back in the league. And we can have a discussion about that, but we certainly know that Ty Johnson's receiving chops meaningfully helped this team in a lot of games. I mean, there was running jokes on social media that, guys, we've been looking for a wide receiver one this whole offseason. Turns out it was a third string running back.
Yeah.
Like, that's how effective you got, the effectiveness you got from Ty Johnson in the passing game. So I think they're going to take, if they ain't broke, don't fix it situation. I think next offseason is going to be the conversation of, well, does Ray Davis just absorb James Cook's touches and James Cook, hey, thank you for your service. I hope you get a gigantic contract somewhere else. Like, is that the conversation that happens next offseason? For this offseason, seems to be status quo.
Yeah, I wonder about that. You know, it doesn't seem like the kind of thing that Brandon Bean would do, deviating from how they've, you know, put value on every position, paying a player more than what they put for that value on a position. That would be a lack of discipline that we haven't seen from Brandon Bean. So you're of the mindset that after this season, James Cook hits free agency and gets the big payday from another team.
I am. I would be surprised if it was different, because Brandon Bean has proof that, hey, you know, we can plug in a lot of running backs and have success here. And if you think about, hey, you know, the Devin Singletary, yeah, he wasn't quite as effective as James Cook is, but the fact that they were able to, when James Cook was out last year, they plugged in Ray Davis and, you know, he had 165 total yards. I mean, he just plugged right in and said, yeah, okay, we got what we want. I think the fact that they signed Ty Johnson this offseason to a 2-year deal and not a one-year deal, I think is interesting. Because I think it means that, hey, we want to make sure that when the James Cook situation comes around, we have two backs on the roster instead of one, because it gives us more leverage on the possibility that we can let James Cook walk, because it's not a, we're going from three guys we like to one, and then we have to backfill two. Now it's going from three guys we like to two guys we already know, had in the system, and like, and I think that changes the dynamic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Bruce Nolan, our guest here, talking some Buffalo Bills football, the veterans reporting on Tuesday. Bruce, if you go back to the season-ending press conference with Sean McDermott, he never really kind of plants any seeds there. I thought it was interesting that he talked about Keon Coleman specifically, and okay, maybe that's a second-year player he wants to see more out of, and certainly Dalton Kincaid entering year three. I think it's notable because here you have the league MVP and the everybody eats, and the Bills offense I don't think was really to blame there for not getting to the Super Bowl, but you see room for growth here. How important is it, or you know, the ceiling here? Who's got the bigger ceiling? Is it Dalton Kincaid, or would you say it's actually Keon Coleman?
I think it's Dalton Kincaid because I think there's less competition for those snaps. When you think about Keon Coleman and you think, okay, they went out and they signed Josh Palmer, who is probably going to be a starting perimeter receiver for this team. Khalil Shakir signed an extension. He's your primary slot guy. The Bills don't run a metric ton of 11 personnel. Now, obviously, they run a lot because everybody runs a lot. But with Dawson Knox under contract, with Dalton Kincaid, you think to yourself, okay, you know, if, you know, Elijah Moore starts to do well in the offseason, he's gotten positive pub, is this a situation where, you know, Keon Coleman is target four, target five in this offense? I mean, if it goes Shakir, Palmer, you know, Dalton Kincaid, all of a sudden you start to think to yourself, where's Keon Coleman fit in the top, and does he have the opportunity to be a guy that you invest a second-round pick in with the ceiling that you hope for? And so, for me, the answer is Dalton Kincaid has a higher ceiling just because there's fewer question marks to his opportunity share than there is for Keon Coleman.
Bruce, never want to see a veteran lose their job at the end of training camp, but let's face it, there's a couple of guys on this roster that fit that bill that could be candidates for that. Are you paying attention to anyone specifically in terms of who could be a camp casualty because of their salary cap hit?
For me, it's QB2. I think that in certain situations, you think to yourself, oh, Ty goes to the rookie, right? But really, in a lot of cases, Ty goes to the cheaper and younger guy. Like, that's really what they mean. And so in the event of Mike White and Mitchell Trubisky, it's Ty goes to the cheaper guy. And Mike White is the cheaper guy. I mean, it's not a massive amount of savings, but it's enough that the Buffalo Bills would move. You saw them move on for Matt Barkley for Mitchell Trubisky in a very similar situation. So as you look at the Buffalo Bills, who are trying to be effective enough but cost-sensitive enough at the QB2 position, which is something that they've I think, managed pretty well over the course of the Josh Allen tenure. It's one of the reasons why they haven't invested a draft pick in a rookie is because, hey, I want a vet who doesn't need a lot of snaps but is also cheap. And so as you see every year, some backup quarterbacks start to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger deals because teams just don't want to deal with it. They just want to say, listen, I just want to write a check just for peace of mind. The Buffalo Bills are trying to have their Keegan Aiden too. I want my peace of mind, but I also want it to be cheap. And so because of that, that would mean that Ty goes to the cheaper guy. And in this case, I think Mitchell Trubisky has to markedly outplay Mike White in order to not lose his job at the end of training camp.
So, Bruce, you are big into the draft. You know these guys coming in, and now that they're Buffalo Bills, and we saw a little bit in the spring, but now we're kind of diving back in. And, gosh, those two, a few years ago, Christian Benford, we realized, wait a second, he's actually pretty good here. Which rookies do you have your eye on here that could actually, you know, have meaningful roles here on this team? I guess beyond what we would hope would be the starting corner opposite Christian Benford being Maxwell Harrison.
To me, there's two people that I think come in and have an easy transition to roles. The first one is second-round pick T.J. Sanders, arguably my favorite pick in the entire draft. I think he's a really, really good player, and I'm fascinated to see a kind of a side comment that was made after the draft, and that it's not just a, well, you can rotate T.J. Sanders with Ed Oliver. It's that I can line them up next to each other. So as T.J. Sanders starts to progress, are you starting to see opportunities for Ed Oliver and T.J. Sanders to line up next to each other on a down that's not third and long? That's my question. Because I think it's assumed that if it's third and 11 and you want your best pass rushing package on the field, you're going to see Ed Oliver and T.J. Sanders. That's a given. My question is, how far does that go? Like, how far do you stretch it? It's, oh, it's third and long. Cool. And now it's, well, third and medium. Okay, now it's second and long. Like, how far does that go where they're comfortable still having those two next to each other? How much can T.J. Sanders show that he's ready right now to not just be a guy who spells Ed Oliver and also comes into it next to him on long and late downs? The second one is the player I think has probably the easiest transition to a role on the entire team, and it's Jackson Hawes, ironically enough. I think this is a player that has a very easy path to, oh, I totally understand what they're going to do with him, right? Arguably the best blocking tight end of the draft, one of the best film watches of any draft prospect this year. Just a boatload of fun. Grab yourself some popcorn, type in Jackson Hawes, have a good time, pour yourself a glass of wine. You'll enjoy it, I promise.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's a spot for me that you think, hey, I really believe that Jackson Hawes has a ready-made spot. You've seen the Buffalo Bills with that sixth offensive lineman, with that third tight end. They needed someone like Jackson Hawes. They got someone like Jackson Hawes because they got Jackson Hawes. Yeah. So I think that one is just going to be a lot of fun. I think he comes in, has a clear role right away, and can contribute.
Yeah, so more Jackson Hawes, less Alec Anderson, I think is what you're saying there if you bring in that sixth
tight
end. Yeah. And when you look at the defensive line here and you look at some of this rookie class and some of the free agent moves that they made with White and Ogunjobi, you know, when we see them later in the season, the Bills have really set themselves up here with diversity in terms of a guy that, like a Walker, who's just going to eat space versus a guy like Sanders who you can plug in against next to Ed Oliver. I mean, they've got pretty much any kind of weapon you would want on that defensive line, given the situation.
They do. And one of the things that came out after the draft that I think is very intriguing is the idea that Dwayne Carter is going to be a one tech, which I think is something we just kind of, we made a note of it after the draft, and then we just didn't really talk about it. Because one of the questions going into the draft was, what type of defensive tackle are they going to want to get? Are they getting a 330-pound space eater, two-gapper? And then after the draft, it was, well, you know, I think Dwayne Carter is going to be our backup at one tech. And we're all like, wait, what now? I'm sorry, he's going to be a what tech? And so I think that if you see him start to become the guy that they clearly think he is, that changed the dynamic on the defensive line, because now it's a, you know, you're running five deep. You're running Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Larry Ogunjobi, T.J. Sanders, you know, Deion Walker, and all of those players are people you can rotate in and out. And then all of a sudden, Dwayne Carter becomes the sixth dude there. And historically, the Buffalo Bills have kept five defensive tackles. Sometimes, you know, occasionally they'll have six at a time. But now you're running five deep plus Dwayne Carter as a one tech, and that changes the game up front for the Buffalo Bills. I'll be very interested because I didn't think Dwayne Carter was overly effective his first year. Maybe they're thinking it's because he was miscast.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about Carter and ask you about these numbers too, because what, if you count the guys that are suspended that you would think here, I mean, is there going to be like a surprise cut here, or with Ogunjobi and Hoyt, where, you know, everything will be fine and they'll keep the nine defensive linemen, Carter being guy number nine?
Yeah, you're exactly right. If you add up the people who are going to be suspended, you're looking at 12 deep, right? You have Rousseau, Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Joey Bosa. Second line is Hoyt, Ogunjobi, Sanders, and Epinesa. Then you have Landon Jackson, Deion Walker, Dwayne Carter, and Javon Solomon. So you think, okay, the Bills don't keep 12, right? So when Ogunjobi and Hoyt come back from suspension, they're going to have some decisions to make at that point, because are the Bills really going to carry 12 defensive linemen? So I think it creates an extremely interesting situation, because sometimes the decision is made for you. Someone gets hurt, they go to IR, you go, okay, well, that stinks, but at least I don't have to make a math maneuver now. But the Bills carrying 12 defensive linemen in December is probably not going to happen, which means this is going to be a really interesting situation to keep an eye on.
Bruce, last year at this time, a lot of pundits were predicting that the Bills wouldn't even finish first in the AFC East. And I just love looking back then and looking at where we are now and trying to project what this year might look like. Are we sleeping on any of the Bills' divisional opponents in the AFC East going into this preseason?
I don't think so. I think that the way that you saw the Buffalo Bills play well against their division historically is going to continue on. I think one of the things that's interesting to me is that Miami is trying this offseason to redefine who they are, right? The phrase soft gets used frequently about the Miami Dolphins, whether sometimes even by their own fan base, in relation to their quarterback and their offensive coordinator and their general way of doing business, right? Mike McDaniel tries the whole, I wish it was colder thing. It doesn't quite work out that way. And so when you think about the moves that Miami has made, a lot of these moves this offseason have been around creating toughness and being a more physical, balanced team who wants to run the ball more than they have historically. Is it going to work? And that's kind of the Miami thing that kind of sticks out to you. The Patriots, I think, got a lot better this offseason, but they should have got a lot better. They had a ton of draft capital because they were bad last year. So, of course, they got better. They got a lot better. And Mike Vrabel's going to come in. There's going to be a new culture shift. I think depending on how far the Patriots go, depends on how well Drake May does. And then with the Jets, Aaron Glenn is coming in, and he's trying to establish for the Jets what Dan Campbell established for the Lions. But people don't remember the very beginning of the Dan Campbell era in Detroit didn't go super well. So the idea that we're going to see instant results from that roster is probably not a thing. They haven't invested in making the team a ton better this offseason. They've made big changes at the most important positions: head coach, general manager, quarterback. But aside from that, the Jets are pretty similar from a personnel standpoint to the way they were before, which means this is kind of a foundational laying year for them, and then we're going to see where they go from there.
If I'm the agent for Christian Benford, Bruce, I placed the phone call and just planted a seed with Brandon Bean saying, hey, can we talk after the season? Because the numbers here, and you know where I'm going with this. Sauce Gardner,
yeah.
$85 million guaranteed compared to Christian Benford, 37.6. I know our audience would say, oh, certainly Christian Benford is better. Is that the Jets being stupid, or did Benford's representation actually sell him pretty short there?
I think it's just a matter of getting to the market before the market turns. I think the thing that changed is we had multiple cornerbacks this offseason who became the highest paid cornerback in football. And so when that happens, the market starts to accelerate. And the Buffalo Bills got to the market right before it started to parabolically take off. You see this happen every offseason. If you know a guy's good, be early. Right, you see this all the time. Historically, the Jets, kudos to their front office, because they're at least doing it now. Before, they were waiting and waiting and waiting. You see this from the Dallas Cowboys every single year. Yeah. They wait and wait and wait and wait. They lose all their leverage. They pay top of market. They have to franchise. It destroys their cap. They got to do what they got to do. But they wait too long every time. The Bills say, listen, once we've established that we have sample size that says you're a dude, let's start working on a contract right now because it's not going to get cheaper. So let's just go.
The fully incognito Bruce Nolan, Bruce exclusive, who I'm sure under the cloak of darkness will find his way to St. John Fisher University and Buffalo Bills training camp. And, well, Bruce, while you're there, I mean, feel free to, you know, come on up to the sports bar while we're there. Say, hey, you know, I'm not the FBI. Seriously, you're one of us. You're a friend.
I'll swing by and I'll have a whole conversation with you. And then when we're done, I'll shoot you a message or a text or something and be like, hey, thanks for the lovely time. And you'll be like, which one of those guys that I talked to was Bruce Nolan?
I try to drag it out of him and be like, okay, like, you know, doing the radius question.
Nice try, FBI.
I tried the time zone here when I was like, hey, does 4:25 Eastern work for you? Is that your time zone, Bruce? No.
I didn't give you anything. I'm locked up like a vault at this point. I know all your tricks. It's good.
You're going to slip up. We're going to get to you. Bruce, let's do this again during the season, Bruce. And again, if you are at camp, certainly say hello if you can. So.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Bruce. There he is. Check out the Bruce exclusive wherever you get your pod. That is Bruce Nolan talking to Buffalo Bills with us here in the sports bar as Bills training camp just a few short days away.
Okay, I think I'm ready when you're talking about training camp and everything else, but wow, it's not just training camp in the final cutdown. When you have Hoyt and Ogunjobi coming back, you know, and as Bruce pointed out, maybe this works itself out if there's an unfortunate injury or something like that. You're not ready to give up on Dwayne Carter. You forget about Javon Solomon. You have these draft picks and Walker and Sanders and Jackson.
Yeah.
There's a lot, like you said, when you did your list there, Daquan Jones, to me, like, he would have to show the form he did early on before he got hurt in that London game. And that's going back 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's just up there in age. I mean, look, there's probably a leadership or a lead by example thing that he brings to the table, but you have every kind of type on this defensive line, if you're the Buffalo Bills. You have somebody for every situation. It's just a matter of can the young guys absorb the defense? Can the free agents coming in adapt and adjust to what Sean McDermott throws at them? Yeah, I tend to think that they probably are. And it's going to be a fun thing to watch through the course of training camp and through the preseason. Of course, we won't see Hoyt and Ogunjobi early in the season, so we'll see if any of the young guys step up, make impact plays, and make a name for themselves early in their career.
Yeah. Happy hour on the way, buddy.
Yeah, man. TJ Sanders signing his deal, the second round pick of the Buffalo Bills. So we'll dive into that. More NFL news to get to as well. We have plenty of time for your calls if you want to join us to kick off your weekend. Happy hour at 866-4326. 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.